emissions before I tried it, and I was, you know, we were putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
And I thought we'd start out talking about what really happened on 9-1-1. I heard Mr. Tarpley recently speaking on the program with Alex Jones, and it was a wonderful program. I think C-SPAN showed it at least three times on nationwide television, and basically there was certainly Jim Pfitzer and Colonel Bob Bowman, Professor Stephen Jones, and Webster Tarpley, talking about what really happened, what we know about 9-1-1. Alex did a magnificent job, I thought, in handling it, handling the questions. And hopefully more and more people are going to realize that the reason we are in the Middle East today, first of all in Afghanistan and then in Iraq, and now involved in the war in the Near East, because the war in the Near East is being fought by proxies. Israel is America's proxy. Hezbollah is Iran's proxy. And what the war is really about is the United States and Iran having little to do with Hezbollah. After all, you know, this whole thing, the fact that Israel invaded because two soldiers had been kidnapped, this was not the reason for it at all. That's the reason you have to tell the people. Just as the Bush administration had to tell the people, we invaded Afghanistan because of what happened on 9-1-1. And yet, of course, the war plans were on the president's desk on the morning of the attack. They needed an excuse. They needed something to tell the American people to get us into a war with Afghanistan. And within 3 weeks of the attack, we had troops on the ground in Afghanistan. Do you honestly believe if we had no idea the attack was coming, we would have had troops on the ground in 3 weeks with adequate air support for them? It takes a long time to move a carrier group, you know, halfway around the world. Those carrier groups were in place. The troops were in place. All we needed was a reason to tell the American people why we went to war. And with that as a background, Webster, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Always delighted.
Why don't you go ahead and give us your take on what happened that morning?
On September 11th?
Yes.
Well, let's maybe we can start with some news items.
All right, fine.
I would say, first, let me just say, in general, the finding that I have in my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA, is that this was not a conspiracy of the Arab or Islamic world. The alleged 19 hijackers or 19 patsies, as I would call them, could never have done this. This is all, it's all fantastic, and I hope to explain in a minute why the 9/11 Commission, the Kane-Hamilton Commission, is showing up more and more as a tissue of lies. It's obvious that this is a war provocation of a very spectacular kind, and given the resources involved, hundreds and hundreds of people, hundreds of millions of dollars, several years of planning and preparation, this could only be a war provocation coming from the bowels of the CIA, the Department of Defense, the National Security Agency, and so forth, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Special Forces, Old Boy Networks, and so forth across the board. It's basically the same people who brought you the gun running and drug running of Iran-Contra, who brought you the bombing of Kosovo back in 1999, but also the Bay of Pigs, the Gulf of Tonkin, the Kennedy assassination, the Vietnam War, and all these disasters that have been foisted on American public life through what I would have to call a rogue network, or maybe an invisible government, which is essentially the expression of a financier power from Wall Street, with the City of London never far away in the background. And that thing has been extremely powerful in the United States since about the middle 1890s would be the time I would take it back to, since Grover Cleveland capitulated to J.P. Morgan and turned control of the public debt and the public finances of the United States over to Morgan and therefore to Britain. We've got this situation where there's a secret foreign body acting in the middle of these institutions. Let me just point to a couple of things that are very timely, though, in this regard. I would urge people to get a hold of the Vanity Fair magazine issue that's currently on the stands, and you can get it on the Internet for free. You don't have to go out and buy it. Just put in Vanity Fair, and it's got a series of tapes. These are transcripts from the Northeastern Air Defense headquarters there in Rome, New York, Griffiths, what used to be Griffiths Air Force Base, and you have a bunch of air traffic of these military people, Air Force and so forth, a lot of them low-level sergeants and so forth, talking among themselves, and what they're talking about is how the these attacks are experienced by them, and you can see this. It's like, to the extent that it's real, and it does seem to me that at least some of it is real, they're always talking about exercises. They're saying the exercise is on. When they get a report, they say, is this real or is this the exercise? At one point, in a very dramatic quotation, one of them says, the exercise seems to have started early. The hijacking was not supposed to take place for another hour.
Well, of course, I think, you know, Webster, it is the most amazing thing that they were able to conceal from the entire American people that on that very morning of the 9/11 attack, there were a number of military exercises, and one of them involved hijacking a plane and supposedly flying it in, I think, the CIA headquarters or Pentagon or something. But how could these hijackers, these Arab hijackers, have coordinated their program with a major military exercise, or perhaps were there one or several military exercises that morning?
Well, the answer, of course, is they could not have done it. The so-called hijackers, the Patsies, the 19, or whoever they are, first of all, there's no proof that puts them anywhere near an airplane. There's no way you can show that any of them ever got into an airplane. It's not enough to show some blurry figures walking through what looks like an airplane gate, and you don't know when or who. There's absolutely no proof of any of this. But rather what we have, as you say, is not just one exercise. We have a grand total of more than 15. We have the greatest density of drills going on any day in the history of the United States as far as we know. And the ones that involve hijacking planes are multiple. We have Northern Vigilance, Northern Guardian, Vigilant Guardian, Vigilant Warrior. We've got Amalgam Warrior. We've got six, seven, maybe eight that deal with air defense in particular. And what this entails is putting fake blips on radar screens that are going to simulate the role of a hijacked airplane, and or having actual airplanes, civilian and military, flying around saying, I am hijacked.
We'll be back in just a moment. How could they conceal that from the American people? We'll be right back.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
And here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Webster Tarpley, and I was simply raising the question before we went to the break, how could it be that the first investigation, the Joint Intelligence Committee, Senate, House Intelligence Committee, I've read those files, the hearings, not one mention of the fact that there were all these military exercises that morning simulating hijacking, and then certainly, was that brought out at all in the 9/11 Commission report?
In one of the early sessions of the Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow Commission, there was some discussion of a drill that turns out to be a very important one called Amalgam Virgo. And Amalgam Virgo had two important components. One was they had carried out Amalgam Virgo some months before 9/11. It entailed firing a cruise missile or other unmanned aerial vehicle from the deck either of a barge or a rogue freighter, either in the Atlantic or in the Gulf of Mexico, and hitting a land target. Now, I have to have a strong tendency to believe that that's what hit the Pentagon. In other words, some form of unmanned aerial vehicle. It might have been a military aircraft of a smaller type with some kind of Global Hawk remote control built into it. But Amalgam Virgo is intimately related to 9/11 in that sense. But then again, there's another phase of Amalgam Virgo, what they were going to do in the one in 2002, and it's not clear whether they ever did this, but they talked about it beforehand, that they were going to have a Delta aircraft hijacked. The pilots would be Delta pilots, the passengers would be actors, and the hijackers would be FBI agents in disguise. Now, this did come up, although never in any of the detail, and never making clear that this is possibly the way in which some of these things could have been done. It's also important to ask yourself, if you look at this role-playing that they do in simulations, who does this? Who is going to be a plausible actor, say, to play a hijacker? It's not going to be a clean-cut graduate of Fordham University Law School who looks like looks like a federal prosecutor or whatever it is. It's going to be somebody who looks like the popular conception or the propaganda conception of a terrorist. Now, where would they get such people? This gets us to one of the other questions with the official version. Able danger is something that was brought up about a year ago by Congressman Kurt Weldon of Pennsylvania. And I think what he was after with this was a kind of a limited hangout. So the story has two levels. Weldon came forward a year ago saying Colonel Schaefer and Captain Philpott were part of a Defense Intelligence Agency Special Forces co-production called Able Danger. And this was a group that tracked the patsies, tracked people like Atta, Jara, Sheehy, Hani Hanjour, and so forth. And their finding was that Atta and company had been in the United States, actually had been in the New York City area, in the early part of the year 2000. That's the time when the official 9/11 report says, no, they were not in the United States. They were someplace else. So it turned out that Schaefer and Philpott had gone to Philip Zelikow, the executive director of the commission, and given him this important evidence. And these were not just, some random cranks coming in. These were important military intelligence officers of the United States. And what the commission did with that was to completely ignore it. They completely suppressed that entire body of evidence to preserve their narrative. Now, that's on one level, that's another proof that this commission was a fraud from beginning to end. But now let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's go beyond the limited hangout, interesting as that is. You look at Abel Danger and you say, well, what is this? Abel Danger, it's got something inside it called Doorhop Galley, which I haven't been able to figure out, although I have some ideas. They've got this ability to track Atta and company. Now, why would they be tracking them? My finding is that they're doing it because they are terrorist controllers. They are case officers who need to know what Atta and company are doing because they want to make sure they're doing what they were told. In other words, it's a way to check up on your own employees. Now, if we look at Abel Danger, when the military do drills, they like to do them in binary pairs. They like to have one side play the attack and the other side play the defense. So here's Abel Danger. Abel Warrior is the yearly large-scale anti-terror defensive exercise of the Special Forces Command. So Abel Warrior, Abel Danger. Now, if Abel Warrior is the defense, and it is, because that's what anti-terrorism is bound up with, it looks to me like Abel Danger is the attacking side. In other words, it's a group of people who would play the attackers, simulate terrorist attackers in some kind of a drill, and they might have been doing that for some years. However, in this case, it went live. It was flipped live, and whoever these people were, the especially the Atta, Shihi, Hani, Hanjour, Jara, the more important ones, the alleged pilots, they are possibly people who were, you know, working, they thought, as double agents and actors for the federal government, ultimately, who were then caught up in something that went live, and most likely they were liquidated. But I think that gives you an idea of how devious all this stuff is. Now, your question was originally, how could they hide this for so long? Well, there are any number of reasons, right? One is we have essentially one-party rule, and there's no oversight. There were no serious investigations. All of those were a sham. And in particular, we have to focus on the responsibility of the Democratic Party, even in some ways even more than the Republicans, because the Democrats should have been playing the opposition, and they didn't. The Democrats decided that they were going to become the true church of the 9/11 myth, and they embraced, in particular, Richard Clark in the course of those hearings of the Kane-Hamilton Commission. Remember, Richard Clark came out as a star because of his famous "Your government failed you" quote, and "I failed you," and he was then embraced by a lot of the bereaved family members. It was, in some ways, a tragic scene. Clark was the guy who came into the White House that morning and, based on zero proof, zero intelligence or evidence, said, this has got to be Al-Qaeda. It's Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, bin Laden. And he was putting that out all through the day, especially through his leak networks to the CNN and CBS News and the rest of them. So he established the myth. The Democratic Party generally has said, we are the true church of Al-Qaeda. We didn't go into Mesopotamia. We didn't get interested in Saddam Hussein. We're the real people who would have kept after bin Laden and the rest of them. And then the other group that I would focus on in particular are the left liberals, the radical liberals, if you like, people I call the gatekeepers. If you think of people like Noam Chomsky and Michael Moore and The Nation magazine, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, Norman Solomon, a whole series of leftists who you'd normally think, when the government comes along with a myth like 9/11, which is obviously racist and designed to provoke wars, it's a means of demonizing Arabs and Muslims, you'd expect these leftists to be the first ones to denounce it and say, this is horrendous, where's the proof? And of course there is none. But they didn't do that. They basically began embracing the myth. They began parroting it. They've been parroting it ever since. You can tune into Amy Goodman any day and hear essentially the government's version of what terrorism is. So they have essentially set back public opinion many years. And this is not just an academic issue, because as I think you're saying, we're now on the verge of a wider war in the Middle East, right? There's going to be an attack on Iran and or Syria unless somebody puts a stop to this. I think some people in the Pentagon may be trying to put a stop to it. If you saw General Abizaid and General Pace coming to the Congress last week and saying Iraq is now in the middle of a civil war, essentially, with some qualifiers, but that was the idea. What they're really saying is, please don't get us involved in another meat grinder war. There's the Syrian meat grinder, and then there's the Iranian meat grinder, which is really a formidable one, right? It's three times as many people and four times the territory of Iraq. A very, very bad thing to start rummaging through if you're not looking for very bad surprises. I take it what they're saying is that we don't need a wider war. But other than that, if the wider war comes, the basis of it, as Bush and Blair told us 10 days ago at the White House, the whole thing is based on the 9/11 myth. So these leftists, these people who are supposedly anti-war, anti-racism, and so forth, have actually done yeoman service as cheerleaders for the Bush FBI story on 9/11.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think this is the great tragedy, is the American people don't understand that they needed an excuse to get us into the war. And certainly we know that Brzezinski had written about this in his book, The Grand Chessboard. We know that the PNAC group, Project for New American Century, had written about this in their publication, Rebuilding America's Defenses. We needed an excuse to get us into the war. And I think Richard Clark had designed this whole thing. I think that the plans, I have heard that the plans for the attack on Afghanistan were on the president's desk, on the very morning of the attack. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That was actually one of the earliest areas to be explored. There were these two French guys, Brizard, B-R-I-S-A-R-D, and Dasquier, D-A-S-Q-U-I-E. And this was called La Vérité Interdite, The Forbidden Truth. And it was a story of the U.S. negotiations with the Taliban regime. Remember, the Taliban had been supported by the U.S. The U.S. thought the Taliban was great because they were anti-Russian. They didn't get along very well with the Iranians. They didn't get along well with anybody. So that was ideal. They were sort of a self-isolating, self-defeating group. They were similar to Hekmatyar, who had been the darling of the CIA during the Afghan war. And then, of course, in the first months of the Bush administration, the Taliban received about $250 million. They all of the Taliban salaries were paid for 2001 out of U.S. Taxpayer money, and then you've seen, the Taliban emissaries coming to meet Bush when he was governor of Texas and all the rest of this. And the goal of that was this pipeline story, and then it didn't work. And then the Taliban were saying no. Now I wouldn't say that 9/11 is arranged to respond to that. Specifically, it's the issue of 9/11 is a question of world domination. It's a question of the survival of the dollar, of U.S. British hegemony in the world. It's basically maintaining the Anglo-American empire in the world. But then it has to be worked out in these specific situations, and Afghanistan is certainly one of them.
Well, I've never understood, Webster, if Osama bin Laden was really our enemy and behind the bombings of the embassies in Africa in 98 and the bombing of the coal in 2000 and going all the way back to the First World Trade Center, why were we financing the Taliban who were giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, there are many, many contradictions with this. If we want to go through bin Laden, al-Qaeda, my finding in my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, is that al-Qaeda is a wholly owned subsidiary of the CIA and the British MI6. And we can look at a number of points. Some of these are interesting. Some of them are even funny. When bin Laden needs kidney dialysis, for example, according to Le Figaro and the French international radio, back in 2001, bin Laden gets his treatments at the American hospital at Dubai in the Persian Gulf under the auspices of the CIA. So the CIA is his health plan. If his people need visas, well, then they're sent to Michael Springman at the U.S. consulate in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And Springman is now a whistleblower, of course, who has testified that he was told to give visas to all kinds of obvious reprobates, let's say. In terms of a personal assistant, a lot of evidence that bin Laden had a personal assistant named Sergeant Ali Mohammed, who was a former Egyptian major who had become a sergeant in the U.S. Special Forces at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And when bin Laden needed help to organize his life, which he does frequently because he's sort of a, a basket case, we'd have to say, a psychotic. He gets Ali Muhammad sent over to him. When he's going to make his move from Sudan to Afghanistan, Ali Muhammad comes with him to help him organize the move. When Bin Laden is thinking about attacking the U.S. embassies in East Africa in the late 90s, when he's being set up for this, Sergeant Ali Muhammad goes over and actually picks the targets. And we can actually get to a couple of more.
All right, we'll do that when we get back here at the American Freedom Network.
It's Michael at KHNC Radio. And I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems, yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
When you look at the sky, it seems relatively empty. Yet somewhere beyond that vast sea of blue lies Wild Blue, affordable high-speed internet via satellite. For as little as $49.95 a month with free installation, Wild Blue brings you the world and your connection to it. Imagine surfing the web with lightning-fast speeds up to 30 times quicker than dial-up. Suddenly, you can send large emails in a flash. You can even download music or watch videos online. Plus, Wild Blue comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Finally, just about everyone under the sun has access to affordable high-speed internet. And like the clear blue sky, that's a beautiful thing. Wild Blue, high-speed internet out of the blue.
Make the move to Wild Blue Country. Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE today and get free installation. That's 1-866-WILD-BLUE or see your local dealer. Must have Southern line of sight. Speeds may vary. Price of first to value back. Promotional plan details subject to change at any time. See wildblue.com for full details.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245. For title and price information, that's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Webster Tarpley. Webster, tell people how they can get your book, how they can get in touch with your information, please.
Thank you. The easiest way is just to go to Amazon.com. In the past... the past 2 weeks, I guess, my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, the third edition, especially just issued this spring. It takes you up to April, I guess, the end of the, well, not quite the end of the Mousawi trial, but most of the Mousawi trial. That has been the bestseller among the 9/11 books, outselling the official report as well as, at least on Amazon, outselling the other critical studies. So 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA on Amazon. If you're interested, there's also my earlier book, The Unauthorized Biography of George Bush the Elder, 1992, but reprinted, which is, I think, a valuable reference source for the Bush dynasty, the Bush political machine and their methods, and I think they'll give you a discount on the two of them, and if you buy both of them, I think you qualify for free shipping. So Amazon.com, and I appeal to people who want to support this kind of thing, to buy it through Amazon if you can, because the higher the Amazon ranking goes, the better chance I have of getting eventually into bookshops, which has proven quite hard to do in terms of the, you know, the national distributors. They've accepted a number of 9/11 books, but strangely not mine, even though I outsell the others on Amazon. I think it's because my analysis is maybe a little bit too radical for some of these chains. Anyway, we're talking about Bin Laden. Couple of other little anomalies. Bin Laden's legal services. Well, that's the U.S. State Department. That was Madeleine Albright. In the late 90s, the Sudanese government approached her and said, look, we've got this guy Bin Laden. We'd be happy to deliver him to you. And Madeleine Albright said, oh, no, we couldn't do that. We don't have an indictment for him. Now, we know that federal prosecutors can and do indict ham sandwiches anytime they want to.
Sure.
So in this case, the answer for Madeleine Albright was no, we can't do it. Then we have the Bin Laden fan club. This sounds amazing, but if you get this book called Imperial Hubris by Michael Scheuer, who at the time that he wrote it and at the time he published it was a serving officer of the CIA in Langley, Virginia, actually the head of the Bin Laden station, the one that has now been abolished in the past couple of months. Scheuer writes in that book that Bin Laden is the greatest political genius of the 21st century, that he's the Abraham Lincoln of the Arabs. And this, of course, is absolutely fantastic. He defends him against all sorts of people who say Bin Laden is a dreamer or a fool or an eccentric or somebody who's completely a bungler. Oh, no, says Scheuer, he's a genius. And you can see why he does this, because if you have Bin Laden as your leader, you're doomed. You're doomed in two ways. One is Bin Laden says all Arab governments are illegitimate, because they're not the caliphate. So fine, that means you can go and destabilize any existing Arab or Islamic government. And the second thing is, Bin Laden says that if you're a Muslim believer and you meet a non-believer, you've got to kill that person, which simply means that you will never have allies in Europe or Russia or China or India or Japan or South Africa or Brazil. You'll be against all of them. So you will isolate yourself and you'll be sure to be defeated. And the final example with Bin Laden, my friend David Shaler, the whistleblower from MI5 in Britain, and he says he was sitting in his office in MI5 in 1995 or so, and he looked over and looked at his counterpart at MI6, the British equivalent of the CIA, and the MI6 guy was subsidizing Al-Qaeda to the tune of £100,000, a little bit of change, to go and kill Gaddafi of Libya, with obviously the goal of overthrowing Gaddafi, putting in an al-Qaeda regime, and then using that as a pretext to invade Libya in the mid-90s. So this would have been 9/11 before 9/11. So if you put that all together, al-Qaeda does not exist. Al-Qaeda is simply tentacles of a U.S.-British intelligence operation. It's the CIA Arab Legion, founded under Gates, right, when Gates was the head of the CIA. And if you look in his autobiography, you'll find a little hint of that. He says, we thought about forming an Arab Legion, but then we decided not to. Well, they thought about it, and they did it, and it's al-Qaeda, and it still is.
I think most Americans have forgotten that in Bosnia, we backed the Muslims, who were al-Qaeda. The same thing in Kosovo. The al-Qaeda was behind the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army, or whatever it was, and we were backing them. Why would we have been backing them? You know, this was 1999, somewhere in there, 1995. I mean, we'd been supposedly, Osama bin Laden had been our sworn enemy, long before that. And yet we're backing al-Qaeda. But the trouble is, Webster, the American people have such short memories, and they find this so impossible to believe that we would create the best enemy CIA money could buy.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the KLA were the biggest drug runners in Europe, and it was in the name of the KLA that this tremendous exercise in vandalism, the bombing of Serbia and Kosovo in 1999 in the spring, was undertaken. This was an act of absolute incalculable folly, carried out by General Wesley Clark, Democratic presidential contender, indeed Michael Moore's favorite candidate for president in 2004, I guess, was Wesley Clark, the mad bomber of Kosovo, who almost, he might have started World War III if he started shooting at those Russians on the Pristina airport when they seized it. The bombing of Serbia under the pretext of saving the KLA is also the moment when the world public opinion begins to turn to hating the United States. Because remember, if you bomb Serbia, you're going to have the Russians angry, and they had these huge demonstrations at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. And then if you go and deliberately bomb the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, then you're going to have the Chinese angry with you, and they managed to do both. So that's about half the world right there that they managed to turn against the United States based on this lunatic vandalism, bombing the bridges over the Danube and so forth. That's really, by the way, that's when the world starts to hate the United States. It's not so much even after 9/11. A lot of it goes back to before. And the KLA, again, that's typical handiwork of the invisible government. I would say the thing that people have to understand is this much older than Bush and Cheney. These are forces above and behind the Oval Office. The modern presidency, with the exception of Franklin D. Roosevelt and Kennedy, is essentially a puppet post. Bush is a puppet. Cheney's a puppet. They're marching to the tune of a group of financiers. The neocons speak for them, and then we have this invisible government operation which carries out these provocations, terrorism, when they need it. The whole thing goes back to Grover Cleveland capitulating to J.P. Morgan and turning the public finance of the United States over to this group, and then it goes on all through the 20th century.
Well, I think it's really such a tremendous tragedy, and that the American people never stop and question what really happened on the morning of 9/11. I mean, why is it that at least six of the so-called hijackers are alive and well in the Middle East? And the government has acknowledged that. Actually, there was a wonderful article in Insight magazine that brought all that out. And suddenly somebody put pressure on all of Insight's advertisers, and the magazine had to close down. That was one of the last articles they published, was the fact that, you know, six of the hijackers were alive and well. Because think of the implications. If they did not tell us the truth about what happened, why, it means that the whole, you know, 9/11 tragedy was contrived, and those Americans were left there to die. We'll be right back in just a moment here in American Freedom.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess, this morning. I is Webster Tarpley, and we're talking about the tragedy of what happened on 9-1-1. And I think most of our listeners remember that morning, and we were told 6,000 Americans had died. 6,000 Americans had died, and then every day or so they'd knock off 1,000 until we got down to less than 3,000. Of course, it was when something happened that wasn't supposed to happen, and that is that the man in charge of security in the South Tower went for Morgan Stanley. Had, you know, when the people in that building were ordered to stay at their seats, they could look out the windows, they could see the smoke in the North Tower, the people jumping out the windows, the flames, and a lot of them wanted to get out of the building in the South Tower. They were told that they couldn't leave, they were to stay at their seats, and the man in charge of Morgan Stanley got out 2,500 people screaming, "We're under attack," and they evacuated three floors, chuck full of people, and he saved somewhere around 2,500 lives. But somebody had calculated 6,000 people were going to die. You remember, day after day we heard that, and then the number fell when they realized, of course, that some people had escaped. How could anybody really intentionally leave Americans to die, Webster? That seems so incongruous with the way civilized people think.
Well, I think one relevant fact perhaps is that the security company of the Twin Towers had Marvin Bush, a brother of the current tenant of the White House, on the board, I believe, or one of their executives. I think a member of the board. So this indicates the general quality of it. There's been obviously a tremendous amount of lying. This Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow Commission is now about 2 years old, that report. And we've already mentioned that in the Abel Danger case, it's been proven that they simply took important, relevant evidence from very credible U.S. government sources and suppressed it, denied it, and then lied about it when they were caught doing this. The other thing is from just this past week, if you look in the Washington Post, Wednesday, August 2nd, 9/11 panel suspected deception by Pentagon. And what this is that in the last weeks of their activity, the Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow Commission, all 10 members, got together and had a secret meeting about the fact that the Pentagon generals, the NORAD and NEADS generals and officers who had testified before the commission, had been lying, and they knew they'd been lying. And some of this testimony had been under oath towards the end, but in the beginning not under oath, and they called them back and got them to testify under oath. So perjury and worse were obviously present. So the question was, would the Kane-Hamilton Commission do anything about it? What they should have done was to demand that the Justice Department issue criminal indictments against those guilty of perjury, and then that would have become the means of delving further into it. Because if you have no air defense over Boston to Washington, D.C., very sensitive area, the most sensitive, because your national capital is your national command structure, that had to be the result of something, right? We know that when Payne Stewart, the golfer, went when his oxygen failed and everybody died in his plane, there were interceptors there within about 15 to 20 minutes. In this case, we've got 1 hour and 45 minutes. And even though, because of these drills, there were probably 29 aircraft reported hijacked at the height of the crisis, and a lot of those were fake. A lot of those were inputs, as we can read about in the Vanity Fair article. A lot of them were this was a tremendous distraction, but there also had to be criminal intent on the part of some of those officers, because if you had two aircraft, let's say, you'd put them over Washington, D.C., because that's your national command structure, and you'd be defending the Pentagon and the rest of the federal command centers in Washington, D.C., and that's exactly what they didn't do. They sent the airplanes out over the ocean. There's even a moment where Colonel Maher at the North America, at the Northeast Air Defense Center refuses to launch F-16s because he says, I don't want them all to be running out of gas at the same time. And it's just unbelievable, right? The enemy is bearing down on you, and you refuse to launch your interceptor. So the people in the Kane-Hamilton Commission knew that they had been lied to, and they decided to do nothing. They covered up. They didn't announce this. They didn't talk about it. They issued their report and meekly went about their business. And the only thing they did was to refer the matter to the inspectors general of the Department of Transportation and the Pentagon, saying, you should look into this. And the New York Times began calling. Once this story had come out, the New York Times started calling the Pentagon, and the Pentagon inspector general responded, oh, yeah, well, we had a report that we completed in May of 2005, more than a year ago, that said that no lying had been involved. Now, I'm sorry. When we have the Able Danger story where the Kane-Hamilton Commission covered up and lied, and now we have this new story about the lying by the generals, by Larry Arnold and the rest of them, Myers, too, I would say, became the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we've got the official story of 9/11 is now collapsed. I mean, it's gone. These people have lied and covered up so much that we cannot have any confidence in it, no matter who you are. This is now an institutional, mainstream fact that the Kane-Hamilton Commission is a fraud. So I would recommend a couple of things. People should do something about it. We're going to have the September 11th 5th anniversary now in about a month, and there are going to be events everywhere. I would urge people to turn out for those, support them, go to them, read up on it, talk to your friends about it. And in a very special way, make this an issue in the elections. All kinds of congressional candidates are running around now. They're going to have candidates' nights. They're going to have forums. They're going to get people calling you on the phone asking for your vote. Well, one of the things you should say when they call you to ask for your vote is to say, we want 9/11 truth. We want this investigation reopened because it's clear that the Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow story is a fraud, that this was worse than the Warren Commission in many ways. I mean, more blatant, more obviously a bunch of liars with bigger conflicts of interest than the Warren Commission had. Well, maybe that's too much, because those were huge too. But in the way that they carried it out, it was obviously a report of inferior quality. And now only a few years after the fact, we find 2 years after the fact, it's been shot through six ways to Sunday.
We're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much, Webster.
Thank you
for being with us. Bye bye.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and we have some excellent material on 911. In fact, if you have not yet seen my pamphlets, three of them, all of them together, are $9.95. A compilation of all of my articles that we'd written on 911. It becomes very obvious the government knew ahead of time the attack was coming. The government did not try to stop it. Nobody was fired. The people who should have tried to stop it were promoted. Why would that be? 3,000 Americans are dead, and the people responsible are promoted? Well, nothing as it appears to be. Let me suggest a book, The Terror Timeline, the book War on Terror. My pamphlets, The Inside Job by Jim Mars, and Cover Up by Dennis Cuddy, all excellent books, and certainly Webster's book is excellent as well. And then, of course, our four-tape set, 911 Update, my interview with Jimmy Walter and with Paul Thompson of Terror Timeline. We're carrying the DVD by Davon Kleist, In Plain Sight. And then another excellent video, which most people have never seen, put out by our good friend Dave Wagner, The Day That Changed the World Forever. That's The Day That Changed the World Forever. So all these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have a great new CD, or I should say DVD, put out by Joe Schimmel, put out... They sold their souls for rock and roll. If you haven't seen that, you need to see it, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, where you'll hear the people talking about how they've sold their souls to the devil, people in the music industry. And this, of course, is not only in the music industry, people working at the upper echelons of our government. You're not going to see that in the DVD, but you know they're there. There really is another dimension. Well, anyway, the new DVD is called Da Vinci Con. It deals with so many of the movies you've seen. Those with Tom Hanks in it. Those with Jim Carrey, The Truman Show. You probably never understood The Truman Show. You didn't understand when Jim is trying to escape from the television set, and he's in a boat, and he's in a little sailboat, and there's a number, I think it's 137, or 139 on the sail. What's that number mean? Well, everything is symbolic. Even the name of the man who is controlling the television show, the wicked Christoff, the wicked Christoff. I mean, it's a parody on Christianity and the wicked rules of Christianity, trying to make you do what they want. And of course, basically, the whole theme is Gnostic. I mean, we don't have to be answerable to God. We have another God we can serve, and that is Lucifer. You really need to see the analysis of the movies. The Da Vinci Con is one of the finest things we have, and it's brand new. It will really give you insight into how this whole incredible movement moves and works together. There is a conspiracy against the God of the Bible. We're moving towards a new world order, a new world religion, a new world morality, and Hollywood is part and parcel of this effort. They know exactly what they're doing. And you will hear the background of some of these script writers for the major motion pictures who have actually in contact with demons. And the scripts are being dictated by demonic beings, and you're watching them on television. You don't even know what you're seeing. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. We're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survivors. Christian civilization. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for my delivery, for our provision, our protection.
You're listening to the American Freedom Network, now on the World Wide Web at www.americanewsnet.com.
This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamot HaKodeshi, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups.